Last weekend we were in London, and Joseph and I, we had a remarkable time, wonderful time. And it is one of those moments that you are proud to be part of this fellowship. You are grateful that you are part of a home, a family that exists here in Stavanger. I arrived on Thursday, and I have... There's military people in the British Army. They picked me up from the airport, and they took me to one of the military base, probably 2 hours. We arrived there, and there were a group of military wives, a group of military professional rugby players. They're all sitting. When I saw them, this verse came to my mind. Blessed are those who are hungry, that they will be satisfied. What I saw that day, it touched me, because these are my people from Fiji who are serving the crown, the British Army. So we shared together, and they were just soaking and just, look, they're drinking and eating. They were waiting and ready, anticipating. I was blown away. I was blessed just to be there and be part of an environment that is so ready for Jesus. Amen? Amen. When we have this kind of environment, Jesus show up. And I remember the whole time we were meeting, I was just sharing what's happening here in this church, because we can't share what's not happening here. Yeah? So what God is doing here is what we will broadcast out there in the world. And talking about focus this year, is all about focus. Focus in our relationship with Jesus. Focus in the calling that God has for us, not only personally, but also focus on corporately what God has for this church. And I tell you what, you know, it is a joy and a delight to share God's heart and share it about what God is doing at SIC, and also share with them the word. So the whole time I was talking, there were a few ladies, they were holding their phone like this. You know, it looks distracting. You know, what are they doing? Their husband, they were listening from the Middle East. In Turkey, different parts of the Middle East. Live. So they had their phone up because they want their husband also to hear. You have no idea the power that you have within us, all of us individually, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah? We need to be proud of SIC. We need to know that there is a kingdom purpose of why we exist here as a multicultural community. Amen? And you are very much part of it. And so we need to rejoice in that. So, and then we met with Pastor Stewart and his congregation. We were blessed. Actually, I was thanking them for sending Joseph and Melanie. How many of you are grateful for these incredible people that are with us? Yeah? But you also need to clap for yourself and for each other, because your presence here is what keeps us going. Yeah? And when we think about the church, think about everything that is going on around us, and we think about how will the church sustain itself to the end. We have kingdoms, we have companies, corporations who thought to that will stand to the end of days. They disappear. And one thing that gives me courage and confidence is that the church will sustain itself until we see Jesus, no matter what, is because of the one who is building this church. Amen? Amen? He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We are part of this wonderful kingdom movement, and we need to rejoice in the fact that there is more to our existence or just being a fellowship or a place where we go on Sunday. God has an incredible purpose of why we're here. Let's begin our message. Jesus went up to the mountain, and we see in the book of Matthew, there are many hills and mountains. The mountain of temptation, we read earlier on in chapter 4. And also in chapter 17, we'll come across the Mount of Transfiguration and also the commissioning of the disciples from the mountain there in Galilee. But also it speaks of also, it reminds us, there's a parallel also to Moses going up to Mount Sinai, who brought in the covenant and the commandments to give to his people. So here we see a new Moses, Jesus, going up there on the mountain together with the disciples, transferring the message of the kingdom that comes from his Father to his disciples. And I like just the context of it. And the discourse, it's a manifesto of the value of the kingdom. In other words, I like this because it is a challenge for Christians. It's given to us who believe in Christ in how we are going to stand out in the midst of our society. What makes a Christian a Christian? And the Christian life that we read here, it's amazing. It's amazing because it comes from the throne of the kingdom. It is the message. It is the value of the kingdom. It's not something that is created by some wonderful man or guru. It came from the very heart of God, and here Jesus sitting there with his disciples, and there were crowds also that were there, as he directed this message to his disciples. So are the people around them who are listening. The Beatitude. When we look at that, a lot of people say this is a good message for religion. But the kingdom of God is quite different. The way that God meant us as believers to be happy. And it speaks of the kingdom of God is a life of profound joy. Christianity is not boring. Christianity is not for sad and hopeless people who need hope. Okay, you go and find a church. Maybe they can give you hope. Christianity is a life of profound joy because joy comes from the source of joy, which is God. Amen? And as we read through this beatitude, and we realize that blessed, in other words, it means happy are those. And we live in a society that it's all about being my right, their right, about self-empowerment, but the very principles of the kingdom is totally the opposite, but present an incredible measure of blessing in it. We all come from different nations, different countries. We represent the gift and the strength of our people and the nation and the blessings that God has put upon our nation. His anointing also on every nation. But also we represent the challenges and the crisis that our nation represents. Each and every one of us, whatever nation that we represent, we also represent the crisis, we represent the challenges, the political upheaval, the segregation, the bigotry, and all the flaws that present. We do represent that. I was happy to meet and encourage this small Fijian community in the military barrack, because that has been one of my heart. I've been praying for that for quite a while. And to see that opportunity come. Not only that I went there, Saturday morning, we have to drive 2 hours back down to London and my hotel. But Saturday afternoon, I got a call from one of the guys and said, Pastor Joel, is it okay? We have all checked into your hotel. We want to be here for the Sunday services, morning and evening. So they were they were hungry. They were ready to go for it. So we were blessed to join in together with the morning service with Pastor Stewart and Pastor Deborah's church with the New Hope, and also in the evening service where we joined together with the Portuguese-speaking church, the Brazilian church. And I tell you what, the roof nearly came off that evening. So this roof is pretty safely secure. I hope that our church will be also the church that God wants to be. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, that the poor in spirit are happy. They are happy. And we can see that even in Psalms and the Old Testament, that are full of people who were in distress, oppressed, or persecuted, that they have learned to put their trust in God alone. And their joy comes from God alone. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So those who mourn are happy. That they will be comforted. In Isaiah chapter 9, it speaks about the prophetic declaration of Isaiah of the coming of the Messiah. And it says, there's those who dwell in darkness shall see a great light. And those who dwell in the shadow of death, a light has come. Darkness cannot create light. So for people, those who dwell in darkness, they try to create their own hope with their own darkness. They end up compounding themselves in their own darkness. That light has to come from somewhere else. And it's talking about Jesus, the coming of salvation, the coming of our Redeemer, the Messiah. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus is here. He comes to bind the brokenhearted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The meek are happy. I like that thought. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 11, it says, the meek will inherit the land. Oh, can I switch this? Here, yeah, there we go. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And it's speaking about that the victory not only goes to those who are strong and mighty, but to those who are small before God, those who trust in God's strength, those who do not trust in their own power, but on the power of God. That when we come before God, yeah, we come empty. We come as people who trust in his deliverance. That God can easily exalt us. That God is resistant to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself so God can lift you up. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that they will be filled. Here we're not talking about physical starvation or being bloated or something, but there is a profound happiness. There is a profound joy that comes to people who are desperately seeking after God, who are desperately seeking and praying and worshiping him with all their hearts. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, a time is coming, has now come, when the people will neither worship God on the mountain or in Jerusalem, but they will worship God in spirit and in truth. Those who are hunger and thirst, those who are genuine, those who want to connect and encounter God, there is this joy, this happiness that comes from God when we have this kind of attitude and passion with us. Blessed are those who hunger. Those who are hungry and thirst, they are happy. God meet us. He is going to meet our desire in full. And we are going to be happy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You know, it's a joy to be able to be used by God, all of us. A privilege, an honor to share his love, share and talk about his mercy to other people. And then see them respond to the gospel. By the way, how many of you remember our friend from Afghanistan who came here? I think it was last year. He shared his testimony. Joseph?
Yes.
I just want to give you some update. We've been praying for him. Sanas Baptist has really adopted him and helped him financially. He's working now. He's a staff with Youth with the Mission. He's been there for a few years now. But they are about to send him back to Afghanistan. And because they don't believe that he's a Christian. That's what happens, you know. So those guys in immigration, they're doing their job. But most of the time, they don't believe because there are many files they process with all kinds of story. But how do you define someone who's really genuine in his walk with God? Not just, you know, trying to be Christian so they can have their papers. But that is, it's been a challenge for a few pastors that we've been talking in regards to this. And when it comes to discipleship and bringing people. But the thing is that people are coming to Christ. Amen? They are coming to Christ. God is doing marvelous work. And so through this man, he was able to bring others to Christ. And so he said to the immigration, I am not afraid to go back to my country because I have Jesus. Even if I die, I have him. I said, oh, okay. So it doesn't matter to me. But I think it was last week he got his permanent residency here. So he will be able to bring... He'll be able to bring his family, who are now Christian, all Christians, to come and continue the mission work here and live a happy life. Amen. Blessed are the merciful. The mercy of God with us has no boundary. Amen. The Bible says that his mercy is new every morning. The moment we think that we have experienced his mercy, it extended beyond measure. Yeah. There are certain things that we can tolerate as Christian. You know, sometimes we say, oh, this is the last straw. I can't handle it anymore. Yeah? And God's continuous mercy and how big his heart is. He said, happy are those who are merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. The pure in heart have a joy that comes purely from the very heart of God, this love for God, pure and unadulterated love that swells from within, that we see people, we feel God's compassion on their lives. Not only that, but also that I share with you a story how somebody asked me, but Joely, you know, you grew up not having a father. Do you think when you become a Christian that hatred you have towards your father will channel into your relationship with God? And I said, you know what, I wish that were true, but no. Because not only that I discover God as a father, but I discover his love, discover his unfailing love for us, his commitment, his compassion. And I feel like sometimes that I can, hey, Dad, can you give me $10? Yeah. That's how close that relationship, that God... not only save us from our sins, but he took us in to be part of his family. He called us his own. He adopted us. Everything he says that is mine is yours because of what Jesus did on the cross. Pure. His love, his heart is pure. This undivided love and gaze from believers towards their God. This vision that is not double vision. This life that is not a dual life, living dualism. One time I'm like this. Another time people don't see I'm this way. There is a genuine and pure love with God and also a genuine pure love with the things that God loves. Amen? I'm gonna close right there. But what about us? I believe the church not only exists for us to be together, to worship God, to nurture one another, but to reach out to other people. But the church also is an environment, in a place where we practice this mercy, where we extend love with each other. People from other nations that are here. It is here that we not only tolerate one another, that we embrace one another, that we learn to be merciful, that we learn to see each other's passion and be fired up by other people's passion for God instead of being jealous and being critical. Oh, well, we don't do that because I come from this background, you come from this background. But there is a corporate passion, hunger, for God to move in our lives. Amen? That is the church. that we are expressing mercy to each other, that we are joining together in cheering one another and encouraging one another as we pursue God and what He has for us. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for being merciful to us. We thank You for giving us this incredible principle that happy are those who do this. Happy are we if we walk in this manner. We bless Your name. We thank You not only that You've been tolerant to us, for Your extended mercy and grace towards us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.